This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It is episode 12. It's Thursday. I'm actually leaving a little bit early today because I have the very happy privilege of spending some time in congratulations to an individual that I haven't seen for two decades. I have a friend up in Minneapolis, and then the music notation software that I wrote several years ago, eventually I and my business partner were bought out of that music notation software, and I had worked with a programmer for a couple of years prior to that. And so he was well up to speed and could handle it and all that kind of stuff. And so when the company bought us out, then of course I toddled off onto other things, and of course he kept working, and I got an email from him several weeks ago, and he said, "You're not going to believe this, but I've actually worked for Coda Music Technology, which has now become Make Music." He said, "I've actually worked for them for 20 years now." 20 years. And he said, "I would just love the opportunity to see you again. Do you think there's any chance that you could, you know, come up for some time to spend together?" And I said, "Absolutely. Absolutely. I would love to do that." So we worked out all the details, and I'm going to be heading up here in actually just a few hours. It's actually about 5 till 3 now when I'm recording this. My plane leaves at 6:39 tonight, which means I should really be at the airport sometime around 5:40. It's a half-hour drive to the airport, blah, 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 blah. I've got to go ahead and get this recorded, and then I've got to get it uploaded, you know, finish packing, all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be an exciting couple of hours. But anyway, so I am leaving a little bit early to take care of that. This week, I was originally thinking that I was going to talk about the natural world and the things that we can learn from the natural world and how cool the natural world is, not only in terms of just the engineering of it, but in the way that God has built processes into the natural world that we can then learn from. But I came across a book, and I've started to read it, and I will probably finish this weekend as I have some extra time in the hotel room up at Minneapolis. The name of the book is The Drunkard's Walk. And the subtitle gives us an indication that the authors actually have an agenda, have a certain philosophical bent, because the subtitle is How Randomness Rules Our Lives, which, okay, well, that's fine. It's fine. You know, but I read a little bit of it and it just looked very intriguing. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and order it. So I got the book and started reading it. And then I thought, you know, okay, before I actually do the podcast on the natural world and the lessons that we find in the natural world, it'd probably be a good idea if I would read the book first. And then there's a subsequent podcast after that one that I'd like to talk about the virtual world for a few minutes, because there's been some really, really intriguing developments in the virtual world here recently. So that's kind of what's coming up in the next couple of weeks for today. However, there's been a little thought that's been kicking around in my head for, you know, it's been several weeks now. And it spawned out of a discussion I was having with some friends several weeks ago, and we were talking about anger and the mechanisms of anger, and is anger ever justified? And one of my buddies, he said, you know, I can tell you a time when I kind of came unwound on my kids, and he related a very interesting story. And while I was first ready to pursue completely negating his response as the proper response, honestly, the more I thought about it and the more we talked about it, the more I realized there was a component in here that would be interesting for a discussion. I'll just give you kind of an overview of the situation, leaving out relevant details as I always do. Relevant details that aren't necessarily needed for our discussion and to preserve privacy. Suffice it to say, my friend, from a distance, saw his two boys engaging in an activity that could have, within moments, resulted in one of the boys being seriously, seriously injured. And his response was to go from 0 to 60 instantly and holler at the top of his lungs. Now, that produced exactly the response that he was hoping for. Both of the boys froze. And both of them just seized up holding on to whatever they were holding up with. And the activity immediately stopped. And that enabled him to get over there and explain it to him that that wasn't such a good thing to be doing. He did proceed in a fairly heated fashion to talk to his boys about why this was unwise. And we had a chance to kind of then talk about anger and how anger drives us and some of those things. But there is a very, very important element in that. And my other buddy who was with us at the time did point it out. He said, you know, there are times when there needs to be some intensity because you have to get something stopped. And, you know, I was thinking about that, and that it really is absolutely true. There are times when we have this wonderful mechanism in us that we recognize danger, whether it is because of us or whether it's, you know, for us or against us or with someone else or whatever. There's danger. And we have this wonderful mechanism that this adrenaline fires into our system, and we literally start performing actions without, you know, any kind of conscious thought. It's just like, wah! And that really is a wonderful subsystem. And it works very, very well. I had one of those kind of subsystems happen several weeks ago when I was checking my mail. It didn't happen to be the day that I do these podcasts, because if it was, you would have heard me holler. I was checking my mail, and I went and I got my mail and, you know, dropped it into my lap and back into the garage. And in the garage, I start flipping through the mail, and all of a sudden, wham! This wasp hits my finger. Hits my pinky finger on my left hand. And I mean, I'm like, wow! I'm going from 0 to 60, and I'm hollering, you know. I'm not using any bad words or anything. I'm just going, wah, you know. And, of course, then I'm looking around. It's like, oh, fine. So the wasp is in here with me. So I scramble out of the car. I'm looking around. Can't find the wasp. I eventually did find the wasp a couple of days later and shoot him out of my car. Or maybe it was a different wasp. I don't know. But anyways, I mean, I went from, you know, just sitting there as peacefully as could be to just, you know, hollering in very, very short order. Now then, you know, that's a natural body process. There is nothing wrong with that at all. And we have other natural body processes that God built them. They're designed for us. It's great. This past week, I got together with a buddy who I hadn't seen in a couple of weeks. And I'll tell you, quite frankly, with this trip I have going up to Minneapolis, there were some things I had to get put in order and taken care of and that kind of thing earlier in the week. And including going out to the Springfield Airport to try to figure out where it is now, because they've moved it since the last time I've traveled. Big, new, beautiful new airport. So I had several things on my agenda, and I was ticking them off. And I hadn't seen this buddy for a couple of weeks because our schedules weren't together. I saw him Sunday, and he said, you know, so I'm going to be there Sunday. I said, fired Tuesday. I said, that's great, man. No problem. And in the back of my mind, you know, my flesh was going, you got so much to do. Why don't you just cancel? You know, I'm thinking, no, I really should. No. You know, I haven't seen him for 2 weeks. It'd be good to get together with him and chat. And in the midst of all that, of, you know, kind of battling that thought of, in the midst of all that, there was this other idea that just sort of floated in very quietly. It said, you know, you really should get together with him because there might be something that you could use in the podcast this Friday. And that wasn't the main reason I was getting together with him. I was getting together with him because I hadn't seen him in 2 weeks, and I wanted to see him and know how everything was going. But I thought, well, yeah, that's probably good too. So I'd already decided at that point that I was going to talk about these mechanisms in the body that evoke emotion and the ways that the flesh can turn them. And, you know, what relationship do we have to these just, you know, physical things? And how should we experience these physical things? And what should be our role in trying to suppress the flesh's hijacking of this? I mean, this was all kind of mulling around in my mind of different instances of this stuff. So we get together, we're chatting and stuff, and early on, I mean, before I really have a chance to talk to him about what the podcast is going to be about and what I've been thinking about that last week, he says, yeah, he said, I could have done a little better before I came or something like that. He said, because I slammed my fingers in the door. I went, oh, man. Because apparently, he said, I'm not even sure how I did it, but it sounds like what happened is as he was getting ready to leave to come see me, the wind had been kicking up because we've been having some weather. The wind was kicking up, and as he was going out, the wind caught the door, slammed the door, and his fingers weren't clear of the door yet. So it slammed his fingers in the door. And it was really interesting, because as soon as he told me that, I thought, oh, and there you go. I'm going to use that in the podcast, because this is, you know, that experience he had. We were talking, and I said, you know what's interesting about that? I said, I'm going to talk about this on the podcast, because in this life, we have experiences that kick our reaction systems, you know, kick our systems where you're frightened, where you know there's danger, your adrenaline system is firing off, your pain system is going, all those things that are good and valid systems that have been built into us for a very specific reason. And those things kick off and they're natural and they're good. But what happens a lot of times is the flesh then hijacks those things for its own purposes. And I told my buddy, I said, for instance, in your case, you know, I said, I know you to be a man who is more mature in Christ. And so I would imagine when the door slammed on your fingers, you said, ow, a couple of times and shook your fingers and probably thought, well, that was a stupid thing for me to do. And you went on. But what happens in less mature people, or people who don't really understand the mechanisms of the flesh within them, is all of a sudden they start cussing, or they start, you know, chewing out the door. Stupid door! Can't believe stupid door slammed on my fingers! What is wrong with this stupid door? Well, it's not the door's fault. You know, or it's like, stupid wind! Can't believe the wind blew the door shut! Or it's, stupid Phil Farron, if I wasn't going to eat with him, then I wouldn't have my fingers are throbbing now. Stupid Phil Farron, you know, I mean, because what the flesh does is it grabs this pain that we're feeling that really is no one else's fault, but in this case, probably our own, mostly just accidentally. I mean, obviously, if he had realized the wind was going to catch the door, he would have had his fingers clear of the door. And he would have, but, you know, it just slipped his mind. He wasn't thinking about it. Okay, accidents happen. Bam, you know, on his fingers. But at that point, when he's in that pain, then, of course, what the flesh is going to try to do is use that moment, just like it's going to try to use any moment, to get in its little dig, get in its little foothold. And so if it can get him to blame the door, or it can get him to blame the wind, or it can get him to, you know, blame me or whatever, it really doesn't care what it's doing. All it's trying to do is just get you to listen. So it can, and if it says, ow, ow, that's because of this, and you go, yeah, that's because of that, you know, then it's off to the races. And the same thing can actually happen when we're in those 0-60 type settings where we perceive danger, you know, and we react to the danger, and then the danger has passed, and then the flesh steps in and tries to say, well, yeah, yeah, and you felt that because so-and-so, and yeah, you need to go after them. And it's very easy for us at that point to drop into that mode and go after that. And in the case of my buddy, who saw his two kids, one of which was in imminent peril, it's very easy for the flesh to hijack that then and to drive him into chewing out his kids for, you know, whatever amount of time and just really railing on them when at that point the danger's past. And probably the better approach, because you've already got the kid's attention. You know, when you holler, he said they just seized up. He was laughing, he said, because they just seized up. Their eyes got real big and they were looking. Okay, he's got their attention at that point. I don't know that it's really necessary at that point to rail on them. And it might even be more fruitful at that point to come over and say, okay, is everybody safe? Is everybody okay? This is why this was a bad idea. You know, and I think we should be very careful in our lives of any kind of, you know, big emotional experience that we're having to make sure that the flesh doesn't hijack it, because the flesh is very capable of hijacking it. I'm going to turn on my air conditioning because it's a little warm today. Summer is coming, so there's going to be a little extra as we're driving along here, but we'll be okay. And you know, there's, in my life, there are things like this that I've gone through. Every week I fast. I fast on Wednesdays. It is my practice to fast on Wednesdays. Some weeks I do skip if we're on vacation, that kind of thing. But I gotta tell you, you know, by the time I get to the end of the day on Wednesday, stop eating Tuesday night, start eating Thursday morning. By the time I get to the end of the day on Wednesday, even though I've drunk, you know, a lot of water, you know, I'm pretty tired. I'm pretty wiped out. And it's easy for the flesh to kind of get in a foothold there. And, you know, when something happens, go, I don't know, you know, and try to get me to react to that. But what I try to do is just say, okay, look, you're tired. You've fasted all day. Your energy level is dropping. Just relax, you know. And if you can't just relax, why don't you just go to bed? Because I try to stay ahead of it. It was interesting when I got stung by that wasp in the car, you know, and did the woo, you know, type thing. I got out of the car, and, you know, I started grinning and laughing. I mean, my finger was still throbbing, but, you know, just the amusement at myself of having that instantaneous reaction, I thought it was hysterical. My finger is throbbing. I still think it's hysterical. I wasn't mad, though. Because, you know, I just figured, well, that was kind of dumb. You know? I mean, from there on out, I check the mail. I lift up the mail and look to see if there's a wasp. I try to learn from these things. But what was really interesting to me right after that was that I heard this little whisper that said, suck it out. And I thought, oh, I'll try that. And so immediately I went to where the sting was on my finger, you know, and sucked on a little bit, didn't swallow the spit, and then went outside and spit that out. And I had never done that before that I can recall. It was just, suddenly there was this idea in my head. I go through this, I spit that out. Within 5 seconds, the pain is gone. I mean, I don't know how all that stinging thing works and that kind of thing. I had no idea that that would work. But because I wasn't mad, stomping around, slamming the door, kicking the car, you know, going through all that kind of stuff, I could hear that little whisper and that suggestion that came from that little whisper, and I acted on it. And then like 5, 10 seconds later, I'm like, oh, that works pretty good. Thank you. Moving on. There have been other times in my life when I've been in kinds of pain that exceeded that. And I was actually trying to remember back. I've done 12 episodes, or this will be the 12th episode, which seems amazing that it's been 12 episodes already. And I couldn't remember whether I had told you all about the kidney stone, but I'm going to repeat myself if I hadn't. You know, I had a kidney stone. It's been a year and a half, 2 years ago now. And there came one night that it set in pretty good on me. I mean, it really set in. And my wife was doing her best to try to help me, you know, massage, heating pads. I mean, she just felt awful. She was standing there, you know, and nothing was helping. And so finally I just said, look, sweetie, look, why don't you just go out and watch TV? I don't know that there's anything you can do. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just get up and walk. I'm going to walk, I'm going to walk, I'm going to walk, I'm going to walk. And I'm just going to talk to God. Just go. It'll be okay. So she went and did that. I got up and I started walking. And I started praying. not praying, oh God, take this pain away. I mean, I was not praying that. What I was praying was, you know, my God and my Father, the Eternal, I thank you that you have always been, throughout all generations, a refuge for those who called on your name. I thank you that you have been a strong tower that those who needed you could run into and they would be saved. I thank you for the kindness that you've shown in my life. I thank you for who you are, that you are the omnipotent. I mean, I was just praising him and thanking him. And what was really interesting is that the pain then became a focusing agent. Because if I would ever slack off a little bit, it would be like, ow, you know, and so I'd start up again. I did that for 45 minutes. And I have to tell you, it was really a wonderful spiritual experience. I mean, you know, I was really emotionally involved in this experience of praising him. And after about 45 minutes, the pain just sort of settled down and it went away. And I thought, hey, I'm better. Now, I didn't actually pass the stone for like another week and a half, 2 weeks or something like that, which was its own experience. But I told my buddy this week as we were talking about these different bodily reactions to things, I said, honestly, for days after that, while I would not have chosen to have the pain of the kidney stone again, the fact was that I looked back on those moments of being in that pain as something other than moments to be avoided. Because as I looked back on those moments of being in pain, I had a completely different map for them because it was truly a spiritual experience. And it was almost a transcendental experience, if I could, you know, steal a word from another philosophy of thought. And that, you know, kind of gave me a whole different perspective on that pain. I'm getting my mail, and I am going to look for wasps. Nothing there. Oh, Sound Division. I don't know how in the world we got this magazine. Anyways, looking for wasps, getting my mail. I think we're okay. But anyway, so, you know, I could have, in that situation as well, allowed the flesh to hijack that pain and to cause me to stomp around and holler at my wife and go through all those things. But that doesn't necessarily have to happen. Because the pain, that mechanism, that structure within your body, the adrenaline, the, you know, the fear response, all of those things are part of a very natural process within your body, and they can be experienced without being coupled with a flesh response. And I suppose that's really the whole point of what I'm trying to say today. I had a really interesting experience going to work today. I'm driving in. I'm supposed to be there for a training seminar at 8 o'clock. I'm actually running a couple of minutes late. And by a couple, I do mean a couple, 2 minutes late. But I knew they weren't going to get started right on time. Anyways, I'm backing into my garage. So I'm driving in and I get a phone call. And it's from one of the guys I work with at my major client, which is not usually a good sign if I'm getting a phone call early in the morning like that. Because that means he can't wait until I get there. And, you know, I started talking to him and he said, we're having some problems. I said, okay, what's going on? And he said to me the one thing that, you know, you really don't want to hear. And that is such and such a server is out. It's just blown out. And it hadn't crashed. The hard drives haven't crashed, but I found out later that the A memory slot on that particular piece of hardware just went bad. And so the server went down, and it went down hard. This server happens to be a linchpin in some of the automated processes that have greatly improved productivity on one project that I've used there. And I mean, so it's one of those things that it can't be down for very long, or it just puts a great load on the data entry people. And it looked like for a while that possibly they had moved some stuff to another server and we were going to try to bring some things up. Well, there's configuration issues and there's all kinds of stuff that are running through my head. And this very easily could have turned into a multi-day all-hands-on-deck type of a thing. And it looked like it was going to, in addition to the fact that the guy who's over this area, he had to be out for a funeral today and wasn't planning on being back. Well, you know, I'm talking to my buddy, and I said, okay, well, you know, I'll be there just a couple of minutes past 8 today, and we'll just start running down. We'll figure out where we're at. Well, I hang up the phone, and I start running all the permutations off of this, and one of the permutations is you may have to cancel your trip because, you know, while I really, really was looking forward to the trip, you know, it's a celebration of a guy's 20 years, and any weekend in June would have worked. Now, it would have meant canceling late, losing money, all that kind of stuff. But by the same token, I have a responsibility to my client. And so I was running all the permutation, of course, you know, and focusing in on all the things that were possible, that kind of stuff. And of course, the flesh always tries to hijack stuff. So it immediately starts trying to hijack this. Well, you know, you're going to lose all that money. And, you know, you really wanted to go. And now someone screws up. You know, and the sky is falling. The sky is falling. You know, I mean, but I've dealt with the flesh for long enough. And I understand its tactics for long enough. I just told it, you know, just be quiet. Okay, we have no idea what's going to happen here. Going to go in, going to start running the stuff, going to figure out where we're at. The installation we had done on this particular server had been done like 3.5 years ago. I didn't know for sure whether I had all the documentation on how it should be done. You know, got in, we looked through some stuff, we determined where the problems were, we figured out what was going on, we handled a couple of user problems. I told my buddy, I said, let me get over to my computer. I need to chase down the documentation on the installation on this stuff in case we have to move. Got over there, chased it down. Thank God I had all the documentation. You know, he came over, I said, you know, I love documentation. Here it all is. This is how we need to do the installs. This is what we need to set up, blah, 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 blah. At that point, we got to a point where we were really waiting for other people. And I told my buddy, I said, you know what? There is nothing else we can do at this point. I said, so let's just go over to our training seminar we're supposed to have. So we went over there. We had a good training seminar, stepped out a couple of times to confer with the guys who were actually working on the problem. The guys who were working at a problem came up with an excellent solution. I mean, and it, for a while there, it looked like, okay, we'll get in new hardware tomorrow. It'll have to be configured. You know, we're going to do something on Saturday to try to maybe get stuff up. Of course, that would knock me out of my trip. And we didn't know what was going on. But we had determined we'll have a plan by, you know, mid-afternoon. We'll have a plan. We'll decide what we're going to do. Well, mid-morning, talked to one of the guys who's working on it. Excellent guy. He did excellent work today. And he said, here's what the plan is. We're going to take the hard drives out of that machine. We freed up another resource that's sized correctly. We're going to drop the hard drives in that machine. We're going to remap it, blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, by like noon today, we had the box back up. It was a different box, but it thought it was that box. It had the box back up. We started checking. By about 1 o'clock, we knew it looked like everything was back up. Everything's running. Everything's fine. And I told my buddy, I said, you know, this is a classic case. When you called me this morning, it was easy for my mind to run to all the problems that there could be and how this was going to knock me out of my trip and all this kind of stuff. And I just thought, no, I'm not thinking about that. What I'm going to do is go in, focus on the issues, try to see what we can do to resolve it. If I need to cancel my trip, no problem. And I told them that. I said, look, this is vitally important. Because they were saying, no, no, you'll still be able to go. You can just remote in. I said, you know, this is vitally important. We'll figure out what we're going to do. But the fact is, if I need to cancel my trip, I'm canceling my trip. Because, you know, you're my client and we're going to get this working again. As it turned out, when he told us what solution he was up, I just looked at my buddy. He was like, and there you go. There it is. Because all of a sudden, what looked like it was going to be a 2 to 3 day job, they figure out how to go click, 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 bang, and it's resolved. And I left today with the thing working. Everything seems to be fine. I can fly up to Minneapolis. Ta-da! Okay? There was no need to allow the flesh to hijack all that stuff. Now, I'm already over time. I know I say this every week. I'm already over time. I'm already in my garage. My garage is already done. I'm unhooking my seatbelt. But there's another aspect to this. Not only do we not want to let the flesh hijack our emotions and drive them negative. But I think also we don't want the flesh to suppress emotions that are great emotions, and we should express them. You know, when I'm at work, I listen to worship music when I'm going, and there's more than once at work where my eyes are misting up and I'm worshiping and I'm working away, thanking God for who He is, and it's just great. I just get happy fits because God is so kind. You know, and the flesh will tell you, well, you know, you look foolish if you do that. Oh, you do that. Whatever. Okay, you know. And there's a whole other lot of examples that I give you. But, you know, just real quickly, we had a power outage several weeks ago here because of some a derecho that came through. Big high winds blew a bunch of stuff down. So we get this, you get this generator, and I go and I pick it up. I rent it, and I drive around. And, you know, Bubba's over there to help me load it. And this guy is huge. I mean, he's just huge. Except I know he can't lift this thing by himself. And this is like a commercial 5K generator. So this thing's heavy. So he and I get it in there. I'm like, whoo, got that done. You know, through the weekend, had to hook it up, unhook it, hook it up, unhook it. That was a whole adventure. Then it comes, I got to take it back. I'm like, oh, man. So I get it into the van. Great. As I'm driving there, I smell gasoline because we didn't have the cap on. So I stop the car, run around, just happen to have a rag in the car, wipe it all up, get it all the way over there. Sure enough, I got to unload it with Bubba. We go around the side. We get it out of there, the thing. And I get back in my car. And as I'm driving away from the place, I realize my back is okay. And we have hefted around this thing several times. And I just had a happy fit. I'm like, woohoo! And sometimes, you know, we as guys, you know, you got to go through all that stuff. But you know what? I think when something great happens, we should just celebrate it. Just be happy. You know? And then if something else comes along where it means we got to do some work, okay, just accept that it's going to do some work. Maybe there's going to be some pain. Maybe there's going to be some sorrow. Maybe there's going to be... But you know what? Just don't let the flesh hijack that and turn it into something ugly. Just enjoy life, you know, and enjoy the emotional system that God has built into you. My wife and I, we went down to Silver Dollar City last week, week before last, and we rode some of the big roller coasters. My wife's response is to close her eyes. She loves to ride on the roller coasters, but she just closes her eyes because she gets so scared. Me, I keep my eyes open and just holler, you know, because A, I trust the ride, but B, I want to experience that, you know, going to straight down, woo, because that's life. And I enjoy life and I enjoy all the emotional components. And I've actually think I've figured out a way to enjoy all the emotional components of life without allowing the flesh to either hijack them or try to suppress them. And I can enjoy my emotions without it leading me to a place that I don't want to be. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.